Our reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Hear now the word of our Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus entered a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this is the word of our Lord. This was the event spoken of in almost every book of the Bible, beginning in Genesis. This was not the end of God's great plan, but the beginning of the end. This was God's plan to save a sinful world, to give those who would receive him as Lord and Savior a second chance. This is the divine plan that God has laid out to allow him who cannot abide in sin to receive a sinful people into his presence. There had to be a price paid for sin. In the Old Testament, a temporary reprieve could be had by making sacrifices of animals. The animals shed their blood, and their blood covered the sin for a while. And they had to do this over and over again. And every time they sinned, they had to go back and do it. And every time that they sacrificed an animal, they would go back out into the world and sin again. That's our nature. Yet God has found a way to redeem us. The redemption is very much like that of a person who is in bondage, a person who is an indentured servant or a slave, a person who is held until a bounty is paid to reprieve them. We have a debt that we can never pay. We have an account that keeps on growing, and we can never pay it. Yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the Old Testament, the redemption required a lamb or a goat or a bull or a dove without blemish. And so God brought his Son without sin. God wanted us to know that this is what he was doing. So he brought Jesus in, not as a man, but as a baby. Gave him a fully human body while remaining fully God. And Jesus taught. And Jesus preached. And Jesus healed. As a God, he humbled himself to enter the world as a baby. As a man, he humbled himself to be persecuted, to be tortured, and to be killed, so that he could save us from our sin. I don't understand why that was the only way. And I don't need to understand why that's the only way. It's God's way. God is the creator. God makes the plans. God makes the rules. And thank God, he provided a way for me to be saved from my sin. Thank God, he provided you a way to be saved from your sin. That all that confess their sins and believe upon Jesus Christ and set their own will aside and live in the will of Christ can have salvation. This is the good news that the angels brought. This is the good news that the angels told of. God has always done things in extraordinarily unexpected ways. We know in Old Testament that he took a person like Moses, who had been estranged from his family and the people in Egypt for 40 years, to come back and save the people and lead them out of Egypt. We know that God has always done things in the most unexpected way. God took David, the youngest of all his brothers, the smallest of all his brothers, one that his father didn't even think should be considered to be king, and God selected him to be king. God is always doing things in the most unexpected way. And this Jesus Christ coming, when the people of Israel were expecting a Messiah, a leader, somebody to come in and lead them and conquer the Romans and conquer the Samaritans and conquer all their enemies and sit on the throne in Israel and sit on the throne in Jerusalem, that's what they expected. But that wasn't what God's plan was. God chose a woman, a young virgin woman, to bear his child, to overcome her with the Holy Spirit and bring about the birth of Christ. He chose to provide a father and protector for the young Jesus in Joseph. Now, you can read many accounts and books that they were rich and they came from an elite family and all these codes that they have deciphered. But the fact is, in the scripture, after Mary gave birth to Jesus, in her time of purification, she would normally have been required to give an unblemished lamb to purify herself after giving birth to a child. But instead, she gave two doves, which was allowed for a poor person. So God chose the humblest of people. He chose to have him born in a stable, be cradled in a manger. And did he send the angels to tell the king? Did he send the angels to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders in the Sanhedrin? No, he did not. He sent the message to the shepherds. I take comfort in that because it helps me to understand why in the heck God called me to deliver his word, to preach and teach. God does things in the most unexpected way. And God does things in the most unexpected way at the most unexpected time with you. So it was the shepherds. The shepherds, we think, okay, that's great, shepherds. You know, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. That's a noble thing to be. But no, that wasn't a noble thing. The shepherds, by the nature of their work, living out in the fields with animals, could never be ceremonially clean, as the Israel required. They could never eat their meal without being a sinner in the eyes of the Israel leaders. Now, they needed them to raise the lambs and the sheep for the sacrifices and for food, but they never would accept them to be clean. We need to think of that when we see people in our community doing dirty, menial tasks. We need to remember that when we see people cleaning up after us, when we see people working in dirty, uncomfortable, smelly places. We need to think of that when we think about the people that bring our food to, that bring our food to our table, the people who raise the food and prepare the food for our tables. We need to remember them. This is the kind of people God uses. Not that God doesn't use people in high places. We learned about the centurion that God comes to, the leader. We learned about how Paul went and converted the people in the very temple of Caesar. So we know that God does not shut off the people in high places of power. But that's to be expected. We need to remember that God works through the humble. God works through the lowly. God brought Jesus in lowly and humble. And he sent the messengers out, lowly and humble, the shepherds, to tell the very good news. This was the biggest thing that ever happened in these shepherds' lives. What could compare? To have the angel of heaven come and talk to you? God knew exactly what he was doing. He knew who would not be worried that they were going to unseat them from power. God knew that the shepherds weren't going to hesitate to tell people. They would go out and shout the good news and share the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus was laid in a manger. I tell you now then about my good friend Ralph that has the pawn shop in Front Royal. A very, very devout Christian man. A person that almost nobody can walk into his pawn shop without him declaring Jesus Christ to him. Well, he gets some kidding from his family members because Ralph was from the coal fields in West Virginia down below Beckley area and everything, and his father worked in the coal mine, and he had too many brothers and sisters, and there wasn't a place for Ralph to sleep when he was born, so they pulled a drawer out of a chest, and for the first year and a half he slept in a drawer. And so they still kid him about that. I told Ralph it wasn't a drawer, it was a treasure chest. God has a plan. God has a plan for you. And we can't be too old, we can't be too young, and we can't be too unimportant or too important for God to call us to his plan. But tonight we celebrate. And tomorrow we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the greatest gift that has ever been given. I may have mentioned to you before one of the funniest bumper stickers, and you got to be old to know what the bumper sticker was all about and everything, but did any of you younger people ever hear the song Sing the Hokey Pokey? No. See, they don't know. But I'll tell the rest of you. Okay, I saw this bumper sticker once, and it said, "What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about?" You'll have to pull this up on Facebook. Not right now, but pull it up on Facebook. Sing the hokey pokey. That's what it's all about. Jesus Christ is what it's all about. Jesus Christ wants us to live in peace. It doesn't mean without war. It doesn't mean without stress. It doesn't mean without anguish. It doesn't mean without pain. It means the peace of God, the shalom. Having the presence of God in our lives. The people of Israel, whenever they greeted each other, they would say, Shalom, meaning the peace of God be with you. The presence of God be with you. But when Jesus Christ came along, they didn't accept him. And so they missed the peace. Every bit as much as the innkeeper, when they came and asked for a room, the innkeeper sent these lowly people off to the stable. And he missed Christmas. And King Herod, when the wise men came and told him that the Christ had been born in his very kingdom and that he was to be the king of the Jews, Herod immediately plotted ways to kill him. And he missed Christmas. Don't miss Christmas. Don't let Christmas drift by without bringing yourself into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. The shalom, the peace of God. Don't miss Christmas. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbly as he came to us. and submit your life to Him. Even that those of us who know Him as Lord and Savior need to ever come closer to Him, ever more in His will, ever more in His peace of shalom. Amen.
This reading comes to us from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God's final word, His Son. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs.